Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice, the Forgiveness Doctor. And we're here starting a whole new week, and we are in Las Vegas. We got here this past weekend. We've already done some work with some of the kids here, and it's been awesome. The call-in number is 646-200-4169. And we're also on in the chat room, so welcome everyone. And like I said, we are here in Las Vegas, and we've got a lot of things scheduled here, so check out our schedule on our website. And Dr. Michael Rice.
Welcome. It's good to be starting another week back on the mainland. Not that I miss Cat K at all and being in the Bahamas and those beautiful green-blue waters and palm trees and coconuts and fresh coconut water, but I don't miss any of that. I tell lies. Anyway, welcome. We're glad to be here to support you in your pursuit of internal healing using the teachings that we've translated out of the ancient Aramaic document called the Kabbalist Manuscript. I have been experiencing a tremendous amount of appreciation recently on kind of a new level for the wisdom and the genius and the brilliance and the truth and the awesomeness of how the tools work. We were staying with some friends here, actually, a medical doctor that we've spoken about before, Dr. Stephen Androcki here in Las Vegas, who's prescribing forgiveness worksheets to his patients as a healing tool. And his wife is and he are running several support groups, and she was sharing with us the other day how there was a young woman who'd come in with some really horrendous childhood abuse issues, and at around the age of 40, the first time she came into the support group, could not hold her hands still, could not hold her body still. She was in such trauma and fear that her husband would find out what had happened to her and leave her. And it was interesting to hear how over a period of 2 weeks, that is two support groups, this woman came in, learned the tools of forgiveness, started to work with them, was able to share with her husband exactly what had happened with no fear, and he, with total love and support and honor for her and what she'd been through, was just there for her. And the second week as she showed up to the support group, she showed up with steady hands, a steady mind, and a steady heart. It's just so awesome to be able to facilitate that and to be sharing the tools with others who take the tools, begin to understand them, use them, and pass them along. So it's awesome to see it being replicated around the planet. David, it's wonderful to see the work that you're doing with the folks in Nashville, with the folks back in your family system in Louisville, and the people that you're passing it on to others. Terry, to hear the story. I don't know, is Terry with us yet? Terry, we need to find Terry and get him on here to share what happened with his son last week. I'm going to text him as we're speaking, or call him. And David, do you have anything to share today?
You know, it's a beautiful day here in Heartland, Michael, and it's always a pleasure to learn more and to explore the different aspects of the work that you've put together. And, you know, when you were talking about the Aramaic language and looking at things, and the whole idea to me around this work is for me to start looking at things differently. And as I see things differently,
I've got Terry on the other line. He's going to call in, and Terry, we want to hear about what happened with your son last week. That was an awesome story you shared with us. So come on in the show. Look forward to hearing from you. Bye. So I had Terry on the other line. He's just calling in. So,
okay. So anyway, you know, as I'm learning these things, I have to remember that, you know, there's a part of me that really enthusiastically loves to hear about them and to learn it, and then there's another part of me, you know, that just doesn't fully understand it at first, and the challenge is for me to stay with the process long enough in order to get some new realizations with it. And you're talking about Terry coming on the line here. He has some great stories, and I talked with Gene O'Keefe this morning, and I've talked with several people on how their lives have changed and shifted by coming here and doing intensives and about doing the work, and you know that's just so rewarding to be able to be part of that. And yes, I have connected with some family members, and especially my cousin Terry, and if he's listening with it, he'll probably have something to say to himself or out loud to somebody about, oh, gee whiz, he's mentioning me. And he's such a sweet guy. He's really, really wonderful. He's been a big support of me for many years, and we've reconnected, and we're talking pretty regularly. He's being open and listening to some new ideas, and that's always rewarding. So, has Terry gotten on there yet?
Not yet, but I've got a thought to bring up in the context of some of our conversations with a week or two.
Okay.
You know, we had suggested that people watch the video, The Ghost in Your Genes, and see how science is starting to catch up with the 2,000, 3,000-year-old understanding from the Aramaic about how genetics works. And the geneticists have created this term called epigenetics. And I'm looking at Wikipedia as their definition. It says, in biology, and specifically genetics, epigenetics is the study of heritable changes in the phenotype, that is the appearance, or gene expression caused by mechanisms other than changes in the underlying DNA sequence. In other words, how things in your life turn on and turn off genes. And the other morning, you know, my meditation time, first thing in the morning, my breath time in the morning, usually gives me a piece of information and insight. And so it's kind of fun to see, and I didn't even know it, that I've been teaching epigenetics for almost 40 years. Of course, it's a term that's just been made up in the last couple of years, but we've been teaching it out of the Aramaic for 40 years. And in this work, epigenetics is called Life is Going to Bring Up Your Stuff. Life is going to resonate in you whatever needs to be dealt with. And if it's something that's 100 generations old in your genes, and life is going to come along and resonate that, open it up, and you now have a choice as to what you do about it. If it was a terror or trauma, for instance, that great-grandpa didn't handle very well back a couple of generations ago, and he went into that terror and trauma and loss and self-destruction, then when life comes along and resonates that, epigenetics, when life resonates that experience that great-grandpa had and didn't handle very well, the inclination from carbon-based memory is going to be to play it out the same way great-grandpa did. However, if we're awake as human beings, if we have the tools that Yeshua taught, we then rewrite our genes. We go, okay, great-great-grandpa, you know, that was not very wise the way you handled that. And here it is, your terror and your way of handling it in my face, inclining me toward behavior. And thank you very much, but I'm going to change the behavior. I'm going to do something different. Instead of act hopeless, helpless, lost, and self-destructive, I'm going to stay awake as a human spiritual being. I'm going to keep love active and present in my mind, which means I'm no longer controlled by my genetics. If you go into the ancient Aramaic, they said the sins of the father will be passed, yea, unto 3 and 4 generations of those who hate me. And that word sin being an archery term, when you fired at a target and you missed the bullseye, the scorekeeper yelled, sin. So in Aramaic, when they said the sins, that is the energies that are off the mark of the previous generations, are going to run us, except for those who are in relationship with love. So here's love, God, speaking to us through that text, saying these errors are going to run through your genes and they're going to control your life when they come up, unless you have direct relationship with me. You know, when it said, yea, of those who hate me, in Aramaic the word hate there is not hate in terms of a love-hate relationship, but those who are separated from the active presence of love. Ladies and gentlemen, whoever's on this show right now, whoever's in earshot, whoever ever listens to this, I don't care what's in your genes. I don't care what your genetic predispositions are toward whatever diseases they are. It doesn't matter what the behaviors are. It doesn't matter what happened to you. It doesn't matter what you did. If you can bring it to the active presence of love, it will automatically be transmuted and removed from your structure, and you'll be finished with it, and so will your bloodline. He'll open an energy window for everybody else to pass through and no longer be controlled by those events and situations that in the past cowed your genetic predecessors. So it's pretty exciting to see how practical and brilliant and genius-like it was what Yeshua put together and how this process works. And just to watch people, I can't tell you how many people over the years we've seen literally on the verge, when they've come to a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, on the verge of suicide, sharing with us, I was planning to kill myself today. And a week later, excited, happy, delighted, and enthused about their lives. Why? Because they found out that they did not need to remain unaware and separated from the active presence of love in their physiology, and were able to change every inclination and every insane behavior that could possibly happen. For somebody who's stuck in the middle of a terror or trauma, that seems like an impossibility. Folks, it's not an impossibility. It's a practical thing that can be done, and people, more and more people, are doing it every day through the use of the work that we're teaching. And so, Terry, welcome.
Hey, Dr. Rice, how are you doing?
I'm good, and David's with us. How do you be this morning?
Excellent. Yeah.
Well, that's good. I had shared the other day when you weren't on the show a little bit about the event that happened that you shared with me the other night about your son being your teacher and supporter. And I would love it. I think people would really benefit to hear how that unfolded and what some of the results have been. If you'd be willing to share it.
Sure, that'd be great. Oh, it was on, I think it was last Wednesday. Yeah, it was last Wednesday. Kids were here. I went out to a little meditation class. And, I was going to get all centered, focused, you know. And I come back in, and the house was kind of a mess. It was getting late, and I hadn't done the homework. And, you know, my serenity was slipping away.
Compromise.
I got into a little. I started tapping into a little hostility, to my anger, and then kids being kids, it's like they just know so much, and they were in a playful mood, and they were kind of playing with me a little bit, you know. I think they found it a little amusing. This is my projection, that they could tweak Dad just a little bit, since he was already tweaked. And so I said, all right, come on, we're doing worksheets. So we made an agreement to do a worksheet. And then my son said, and he's 14, he'll be 15 here in June. Said, oh, so you got a problem, we're doing worksheets. I said, no, I do have a problem. I have some issues up, and I'm going to do some work around it. I'm going to do my mind goal management sheet, and you guys, we have an agreement that you guys do one worksheet with me each day. So they came on over to the table, and Ian sat back for a second and looked at me. He said, well, Dad, let's take a look at this mind goal management process. So I think you might need a little feedback here on this. Let's take a look at what's going on. So why don't you share with me what you've got on your goal sheet there? So, you know, I was a little tweaked up, and I took a breath and let it go. It's like, all right, I'm just going to roll with the flow. And shared with him my goal sheet and all. And he said, well, I see the problem right there. It's like, you've got too many you got too many goals open at one time. You got too much stuff there that's creating stress and conflict in your mind, and then that's putting too much stress and all on you. And he says, let's see if we can't rework that a little bit. I got some suggestions for you. So he gave me some feedback and insight on the mind goal management sheet, some suggestions, and I was willing to listen and hear, step out of the authority, know-it-all, parent, adult, whatever role that might
I'm the teacher role.
So, yeah, I'm the teacher role, and was open to the feedback. And, of course, he really had stepped into it, and his little sister, they were having so much fun with it. And it went on for about 40 minutes, you know, and we really went through the whole sheet again. And what was just very, very nice. It was just very nice for me to see how much of this work both of them. My sister's 10, and she's done lots and lots of work. She's been to workshops and intensives. How much of this work that they have integrated as part of their being. And, you know, when Michaela was real young, she would lay there, and you would make the comment occasionally that, oh, you know, they're getting it anyway. She'd be coloring or whatever, not necessarily having focused attention on what was going on, but she was certainly receiving the vibrational energy, and her worksheets reflect that in her consciousness and awareness. And both of the children is reflected by being in that environment.
If I remember correctly, Terry, the first time that Michaela did the Laws of Living, where that particular worksheet, Mind Goal Management, which people can download from our website, where that sheet is introduced, was I think she was 6, and if I'm remembering correctly, then that would have made Ian 10.
Uh-huh, yep.
It was about a year after their first intensive. It was the second year they were involved in the work, I think, wasn't it?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so for those who don't know what we're talking about here, there's a tool that we introduce in the Laws of Living class that shows how to manage the output of the mind. It's also talked about in the video, Getting the Stress You Need. We introduce that worksheet, and it teaches precisely and exactly how stress is created, precisely exactly how stress is removed. And, you know, for your son to just be able to do a two-minute cursory look at what you were working on and go, Dad, too much stress, too many goals, no wonder you're upset. No wonder you're going back into your old power person dynamics. Let's support you in healing. I mean, that's just, it's so awesome, you know. It's just so awesome.
Yep, very much so, very much so. And that Laws of Living course, I've still got my book, and I cherish that binder with all the work in it, because Michaela was right there with me, and I have drawings in the book that she created during that workshop and different things that we did together, and it's really powerful piece of memorabilia for me. It's really good, strong.
Cool. Fabulous. Yeah, and we've had kids as young as 3 in that class and children as young as 4 successfully using the reality management process. They're never too young to start to use it, and they grow up with it. I've watched kids when they go into upset, once they've experienced that forgiveness process, and they get into upset, they know how the stress is relieved, and they'll turn, Mom, Dad, I need a worksheet.
Uh-huh.
Awesome to see how that happens. Julie Haverstick, who's the woman who wrote the book Healing Children, Loving Children, did an intensive at Heartland a few years back, and there were 2 children, a young girl that was 9, and her younger brother was 4, and her younger brother was, a little hyper and into everything, and, you know, was a real hassle to her. And after Julie had presented the forgiveness process, well, probably 2 hours later, we went out to the porch where we do lunch, the screen-in porch, and there this young girl of 9 is helping her 4-year-old brother to go through a worksheet and do some forgiveness, and it's just awesome. And, you know, if you have any challenges in your world, there are answers. They come out of the ancient Aramaic, and if you've got a question about it or how to use it, if you've gone to the website and all the worksheets that we're talking about, there are several different ones at www.whyagain.com. You can jump on our website. You can download the book free. You can download the worksheets. The right-hand side of the page, there's a link that says download worksheets, and they're all there. You can have a look at them. Many of them are self-explanatory. There is a complete explanation of the worksheet on the forgiveness process, the reality management. So you can grab a copy of that off the website and start to use it. It'll change your life for eternity. And if you have a question for us, we'd love to hear from you. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. That's 646-200-4169. We'd love to hear your wonderful voices or your traumatized voices, because we are here to support you working through every trauma, every drama, everything in your world and in your life that is unlike love. It's possible to do. The man named Yeshua 2,000 years ago knew exactly how to do it. It wasn't about believing in him. It was about believing in him, believing in what he taught, understand it, and put it to work. Is there anything else
Michael,
to share about that? David.
Michael?
Yes, sir.
Along that line, one of the things that I invite Carrie to do and to recognize is that, yes, McCaleb and Ian attended some workshops and some intensives, and they've listened to the things. They've been consistent in doing this. Carrie has been working on this consistently for several years, that he attended a workshop and he did his work and he woke up to the fact of, oh, wow, yep, I'm in charge of my life. And yes, I'm the one that is going to be able to teach my children these new things. And he put it in effect. He did his work. He continues to do his work. And the children continue to do their work as well. Noah, you've told the story about when you stayed there several months ago, that you went into Ian's bedroom and he had the one of the CDs that he had been listening to. So in addition to gaining the information, and in addition to waking up, in order for it to be effective and to get the results like what Terry is experiencing right now, which I thought was just an absolute incredible story, how many parents out there would love it for their children in a comp, and Terry as well, to receive it, to feedback, hey, wow, this is what you've been telling me. You know, we've all been taught so much to, you know, and heard that phrase, don't do as I do as I say. Well, your children, Terry, and I acknowledge you and Michelle for the work that you guys have been doing in order to create the space for your children to put it into practice. Now they have an experience of doing this with an adult, with a, quote, power person, unquote, with somebody of a position in their life. And I think it's just so admirable. And I admire you and appreciate you very much.
And to acknowledge the work and the shifts you've made in just one generation, Terry, you know, that story about the Jews wandering in the desert for 40 years is not a story about some old fogies in the desert 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 years ago. That's a story about us wandering unconsciously. And to get out of the desert, they said the old generation has to die off. And if you look at that idea, the root of the word generation, it doesn't mean everybody in old physical bodies has to physically die. The root of the word generation is genari. It means cause. All of the old causes held in the mind have to be removed. And I acknowledge you for the causes you've removed. Terry, perhaps you could tell that story of what happened when you got home, of what would have happened when you were 14 and the house was a mess and Dad came home. What would that have looked like just one generation ago?
Oh, that would not have been a pretty scene. There would have been some physical violence and
bloodshed,
abuse, and yeah.
Are you breathing? Breathing?
I'm breathing.
Did that bring up another worksheet for you?
Yeah, it brought up another layer of stuff there, some sadness. And,
Well, to me, and I certainly support you in dealing with and forgiving that next layer, and at the same time, I'm in excitement and enthusiasm about the fact that in one generation, you know, here we are, and this is what's possible with doing the work of the man named Yeshua. In one generation, look at the changes. Look at how much of a shift. First of all, you know, in one generation you came home sober. That wouldn't quite have been the case when you were a kid, probably.
No, not at all.
And you went into your upset, which, you know, Dad would have been in his upset. And instead of flailing arms and flinging fists at children, you're able to talk, and your children are able to speak up and back in a respectful way about, gee, Dad, what do we have to deal with here? What's going on? And as you deal with it, everything starts to shift. And so it's just so awesome to see what's happened in one generation. And, you know, I'm sure that if we were to talk to Ian and Michaela, they both got giant pieces of learning and understanding and healing out of that, and were able to do it playfully, and you were able to do it play. I mean, it's just, it's monumental. It's so monumental. And, you know, there's a great line in The Course in Miracles that says, millions yet unborn will benefit from the work you've done. And I really applaud you for the millions that you will touch with this shift in energy in our generation. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And,
yeah.
And David, go ahead.
Yeah, it is just the fact that they knew that it was safe enough for them to speak the truth. You know, that is huge, huge. Safe enough for them to speak the truth and to support me in coming out of the hostility.
That's about as huge as it gets. So David, did you have another thought on that?
You know, I just in listening to Terry and his level of willingness to talk about and to tap into once again yet another layer, and then to just kind of follow the instructions. Okay, Terry, breathe. Go through that. Go through this. This is just another layer, and knowing to be able to do that so quickly, it's wonderful. I look forward to the children visiting and coming here, and Michelle possibly coming here for the intensives this summer, and even take it to another level. It is this energy. It's this field of tapping into the information that's out there. Interesting enough, Michael, when you were talking earlier about the fields and the discovery of all of that, I've been watching The Living Matrix, and that's another video that I invite and encourage people to watch if you would like to hear about this on an energetic level and on a scientific level and in a simple term of how to understand what it is that's going on and how this works. And that in itself is a challenge, to be able to go look at something differently, to see it differently, because our program is, oh, you know what? If it's not broken, don't fix it. You know, if it's working, don't fix it. And, yep, it's working. It's working a certain way and creating a certain results, and it's not working the way that it's designed to work. So that's just another one. And interesting enough, you brought that up, and that's what I've been watching as well. So it just really supports this whole idea that we're all connected, and whatever it is that resonates in me resonates and goes on in other people as well, too. We're all connected in that way that we can tap into that energy. So, yeah, congratulations, Terry and Michelle and Ian and Michaela. Well, there's a little bit of static noise on here. You know, one of the things, Michael, that I thought, unless we have some questions or comments, Jeannie, anyone on the line or anything in the chat room someone would like to comment on?
Tim just said kudos and congratulations to Terry for his work.
Tim just typed a note in saying kudos and congratulations for Terry on his work.
And the courage to share it.
Cool. And the courage to share it.
Okay.
We do have Mimi.
So is there anything else? Anyone else in the...
Nene is on the line. Or is she on the line? Or
yes.
Oh, cool. Well, Nene, Nene's a young lady that we got to play with over the last 3 months when we were in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, took a hold of the work and has done some monumental things with and has given us several translations of worksheets and different bits of the work into Spanish. Thank you for that. Good morning.
Yeah. Hi, how are you? Thank you. I'm thrilled to listen to you again, although I listened all the on the YouTube. I go almost every day and try to refresh my new brain cells. And Mike, I continue doing my worksheets every day, three or four, and I'm noticing a big change in how I'm relating with my personal relationships. And I've been canceling a lot of the goals because I remember from the stress, the lecture on the stress about canceling goals. But what I've been feeling, Michael, is kind of a big sadness when I think how I related before to other people.
So your next, so what you're saying is that in your structure, you're still holding sadness, grief perhaps, about not knowing this earlier and not being able to do it earlier. Yeah. Sounds like your next worksheet, Nene.
Yeah, the sadness about, why the way I did it before, how I behaved before. Yeah, so, okay. So that will be my next worksheet.
Good for you.
Did she get the job?
We support
okay.
you. Did you get the job you were applying for, Jeannie's asking?
Well, my job, they call me for next Wednesday. I have a second interview. And it also reminds me when I first started doing the lectures, I went to the Purpose in Life. And I wrote that in my purpose and the things that I enjoy that I want to envision myself doing, you know, and creating my purpose. And that is very, very close. It's been the closest to what I really desire and that matches my talents. So I'm very impressed how that, you know, created the perfect connection to my desire and my heart.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, what I hear you saying is that out of the worksheet that you did, and you folks, you can download this one under that link on the website, and it's pretty self-explanatory, the Purpose, Personal Power, and Commitment Workshop, you found that it's led you to the ideal job scenario? Awesome.
Yes, absolutely. Beyond what I expected.
Fabulous.
Yeah. So I have a second interview next Wednesday, and there are two options, they told me. There were two options for me, and, I'm still working now on my worksheets even more and more.
Well, that's, that's the whole idea of each of the workshops is to tap us into a different aspect of the work. I don't know if you know this, but originally the whole body of work back 30 years ago consisted of the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop. And each additional workshop has come out of that as we understood more and more from the Aramaic and put into practical application. So I'm glad that the practical application has worked for you to bring this into true activity and action in your life. And it sounds like it's going to change the way you express yourself in the world with the work you do.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
And so I anticipate the whole world's going to benefit on another level from what you're doing.
Yes, absolutely, Michael. I'm very, you know, grateful to life that I was able to find you and all this work that I'm doing. And I've also noticed that people call me to help them with the worksheets. And when I sit down together, we share like almost the same. Because I say, I'll do a worksheet with you and we'll do it together. And that creates a lot of power, you know, when you invoke Ruha Dakusha and when you you go back to reconnect with the loving being that you are. So I've noticed that it's very powerful. When I do something together with somebody, that cleansing of the garbage is more powerful than alone.
Well, that's that wonderful African proverb that says, if you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. So I acknowledge you for being willing to support others and going together and seeing how it all unfolds. And it'll be fun to track how and what happens with the support group in Florida or support groups as they develop and move forward.
Yep. Great. Well, thank you. And I continue listening, but I have to go. I have to teach a class soon. But so big hug, Sydney, all my love for everybody. Ciao.
Love you.
Ciao.
Bye.
Thanks for your call in, Nene.
Well, it's quiet on the radio.
It is quiet on the radio, and, you know, since we've arrived in Fort Lauderdale, since we left Fort Lauderdale and arrived in Las Vegas, we came in here on, Friday evening, and the day before yesterday did a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop for the family of the physician that we're staying with, and particularly he had two young nephews came from Michigan to visit, and so we got to play with these two awesome young men and teach the forgiveness work and then take them through the still point breathing process, and it was pretty awesome to see how these young people, 14, 15, 16, are able to take the material, integrate it, and start to live with it. It's just it's such a privilege to get to teach this, to get to play with people and show them the actual original work of Yeshua that so often has been hidden by the world.
And you know, Michael, I get it that they are open and receptive to hearing it, though that they've the generation that is growing up now, for me, from my projection of it, is they have such a challenge in front of them, and they really do need the support and the assistance in seeing things differently. And they are open and receptive to doing that. The majority of them are, as soon as the space is opened up a little bit for them. You know, you might tell the story with when you and Jeannie last year went to Arizona and did that work with the young people and what happened, because, you know, a lot of people think, well, you know, what can I do with the children? How can I support them? So would you mind sharing that that visit that you and Jeannie did in Arizona?
Yeah, before we do that, one of the thoughts that came to my mind, and sort of along the lines you said, you know, people want to know what they can do with the children, but one of the reasons we were working with these young men were that they were having family issues and they wanted to go back, and they felt like, what can I do with these adults?
It was the exact, it was on the other foot.
It was totally opposite, you know. And of course, they have a disadvantage because as children, a lot of times, you know, like Terry, you know, this has this knowledge down pat and everything, and was willing and able to listen to his kids when they process him. But so many people that don't know these tools, you know, it is difficult for children then to address it because, you know, their parent would be, you know, probably backhand them for trying to point out that it was their issue. But anyway, they were willing to listen and open to it, and hopefully they'll be able to take the tools back and use them. One of the things, then, before we go on with the story about Tucson, Nene brought up about that she goes to the YouTube every day. And for those of you that don't know, we do have a station called the Planetary Channel, the Planetary Healing Channel. And I just put the link on our menu on our website, so you can go there and click, and there's like 20 or 30 different little mini videos, 2 or 3 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes long. And so I just put that out there so people can click on that and can get little snippets of different workshops. And so, Michael, I'll let you talk about Tucson now.
Cool. So we, Jeannie and I were, of course, we're on the road 6 to 10 months of the year, and there was a young man who had been at one of our workshops in Boston back, 25 years ago. He's a psychologist, and he was so impacted by the work that he took the work and started to work with it in prisons. In Arizona, they imprison more people per population than anywhere else in the world, and they start putting children in jail at 9 years of age. So we got to go into prison in Tucson, Arizona, and work with about 100 kids from the age of 9 to 16. And it was just so awesome to watch. You know, for those who've done live our Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, you know that Jeannie starts the workshop out and asks the question, how many have ever held a newborn child? And then asks you know, describe the essence of the newborn that you held. Well, it was kind of fun to watch these kids as they remembered, you know, little brother, little sister being born, and the descriptors they came up with, even though they're the tough guys, you know, these gals and kids, guys are, you know, gang members and just such a load that they carry. But to watch them start to tap into the energy of the time they held a newborn. And so the list of descriptors for the newborn is always a very wide variety of terms keyed into the presence of love. And so as Jeannie got that list on the board and then was able to turn to them and say, now you realize that you've just created a list of who you are. And to watch these tough guys with their gang signs and their, you know, their hard faces and their hard act, and was able to step in and say, you know, we got it. You guys are all tough. You gals, you really are the toughest. But you know something? If you choose to live that out, there's somebody tougher than you, and they're going to take you down. Is that really a wise path to go? And then able to turn back to the board and did this several times and look at the list of descriptors they had come up with for the newborn until you could see them start to soften and realize, that's who I am. I'm not the tough guy. I'm not the shadow I've created. I'm made of this stuff called love. And to watch them soften and watch them hear that and understand it was just so precious. And it was such an environment that we couldn't do worksheets with them because they weren't allowed to give out pencils or pens to these kids because pencils and pens are weapons. And so there was one young lady, maybe 13, who was willing to do a worksheet around an issue she had with her dad. And she had heaped all this blame and rage on her father. And to watch the whole room soften and be there to support her, she had a lot of courage to stand up in front of 100 kids and expose herself this way. But she shared and went through verbally the reality management process, the forgiveness process. And when she got down to the core of the process, she just broke down. And it was like, oh, my goodness, look what I've done. It isn't my father that's like that. It's me that's like that. Look at the way I've treated my father. Oh, you know, major, major opening and breakthrough for her. And the whole group shared in it. It was just absolutely fascinating and fabulous and awesome. And, you know, there's another wonderful line in the Course in Miracles that says, there is no place upon the face of the earth which is so holy as a place where an ancient hatred has become a present love. And to watch the hatreds in that room shift were awesome. It was absolutely awesome. So that's our in-jail story, at least our most recent one. We've got another interesting thing developing here. There's a little town in Nevada called Pahrump, and it's a pretty rough town, I guess. And the physician who brought us back to Las Vegas, you know, Pahrump's about an hour or so outside of Las Vegas, he has an office there, and we may be working in the drug court there. We're holding the space that's going to fall in place and happen. And if it does, then we may be bringing laws of living back into the prison. You know, we did it in Albany, Georgia several years ago and cut recidivism by 90% until the sheriff had it removed because there was no business left for his jail. And we're holding the space that Pahrump is going to fall in line with being willing to support these people in healing rather than just punishing them because they've gone down the wrong path. So lots of awesome things happening with the work.
Yeah, Michael, do you want to take a few minutes and maybe talk about punishment and retribution? It came to me this morning in talking about, you know, forgiveness and something out of what Dr. Tim had said in his talk, that most people are looking for forgiveness, or at least this is my take with it, is so that they can forego the punishment. If they could be forgiven for something, then they wouldn't have to face and deal with the punishment, because that usually is what forgiveness is associated with, is that, well, you know, if I get punished, and I've heard you talk about it before, that a lot of the people that you've talked with in the prison system, that though that they're in jail and they may be tough with the other inmates and play the game that, wow, you know, this is what, you know, kind of like in the Shawshank redemption movie, you know, someone else did this to me, you know, my lawyer did it to me, or the prosecutor did it to me, or somebody else. And yet when they really get right down to it, that they acknowledge that they want, that they deserve to be in prison because they need to be punished. So does that resonate anything for you to talk about around what punishment and retribution, and what's the alternative to punishment versus what? How do we in a society deal with that?
Well, when you look at the idea of punishment, you know, the penal system, penance, comes out of, if you do something terrible, then you do something painful to make up for it. And, of course, that's about as insane as it gets. That's about as far away from human life as you can get. And where does that whole idea of punishment come from? I would offer that the only time somebody punishes is when there's internalized pain that takes them out of their human lives, and they want to lash out of their pain so that somebody else feels the same pain, because they have no awareness of what a human life would do in that situation. You know, if you want to look at a good measure for behavior, think about any behavior that you might choose to do, or maybe it wouldn't be choice, you might make a decision to do, and ask yourself the question, would a newborn do this? Would a newborn say this? Would a newborn behave like this? And if not, then it's not a human behavior. Don't do it. Well, yeah, but, you know, those kids have to be punished. Well, excuse me, if you teach a child that the way to learn good behavior is to get beat up, then what you're going to find is that child's going to beat other people up in order to try to get them to behave the way they want them to behave. And we just spawned another generation of punishers. And you know, sadly, a culture that lives, and maybe I shouldn't even use the word lives, exists without forgiveness, is a culture that's doomed. Because until you've got a way to take the aberrant feelings and the aberrant behaviors out of the human energy field, it's cumulative from generation to generation to generation. And so if there's nobody who can step in and remove from the generations what never belonged, what chance does the next generation have? Because they've just got a bigger load to carry than the last generation had. When we wake up to a human life, then all of a sudden, everything's different. Everything changes. And it's time for things to change on the planet. It's time for punishment to disappear. It's time for us to wake up to human life and to start to behave as actual humans.
Great. And so I was looking for an answer to folks of about, okay, because I've had this and I've looked at this myself. It's like, okay, so if there isn't punishment, okay, well then where's retribution? And then as I thought about it, well, retribution. And so I've looked up these words to check out what they mean. And retribution is usually associated with punishment.
That's just another form of punishment. That's retribution.
Right. It's kind of one of those ways of validating what it is that I'm doing is okay. That's my take with it. And so then I asked, I said, so what's the word? What is the word to look at? And the word that came up to me was reconciliation. And because, and I was looking at this because there's things that in my mind that I have done that after I've done it, why is this happening to me again? Then I looked at it and I felt bad about it. I felt guilty about it, or felt like, why did I do this again? And so I was looking for how do I reconcile with a person that, let's say that I did something when I was 15 years old, that there's generations, or there's time, years that have gone by, and this person may not even be alive today. How is it that I reconcile with that relationship? That's a question.
Well, the ultimate solution is I remove from myself that which created the aberrant behavior in the first place. Then, being to being, reconciliation will occur. Otherwise, it's people squaring off with their weapons hidden behind their backs, waiting for the next opportunity to lash out and insist that somebody else deserves our lashing out. And, you know, that's all non-human behavior. It doesn't come from a human life. Again, if you can't imagine the newborn doing it, then don't do it. Stop. Close your mouth. What do you need to do to change it? You forgive. You go inside yourself and change what's going on inside yourself. And by the way, our phone number, if you have a question, a comment, a thought, we're here to support you. Our phone number is 646-200-4169. 646-200-4169. Call us. Hit 1 on your phone once you get on the line, and that'll put you in a queue. And Jeannie will bring you on the air so that we can chat with you and see what support we might be. Our whole idea here with Mind Shifters Radio is to support every mind, heart, and being on the planet, understanding the ancient Aramaic idea and teaching of forgiveness, and empowering people to do that and therefore live in a world different than their generations have lived. And that's what we're here to do.
Great. And since there isn't anyone asking any questions or on the line, as I know, then we might talk about the workshops that are coming up there in Vegas and maybe a little bit about the intensive share at Heartland.
Vegas. Yes, so, we are in Las Vegas, and we're actually doing a private intensive this weekend. And then starting on the 10th of April, we'll begin a five-day series at the Unity Church. And the Unity Church is just right down near the airport, not quite in Henderson. And we'll be doing those workshops starting on Sunday the 10th at Unity Center in the Valley. It's on Pecos Road. On Sunday morning, we'll be doing the Sunday service, Coin of the Realm, and then that's at 10 o'clock. And then from 1 to 4:30, we'll do Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And then during the week, each evening, will be 7 to 9:30. So on Monday, we'll be doing Purpose, Personal Power, and Commitment. Tuesday, we'll be doing, yes, there's no Tuesday workshop. We're off Tuesday. We get a day off. But Wednesday, we'll do Empowered to Heal. Thursday, we'll do Naturopathic Keys to Health. If you want to understand a little more about the basic principles of health from a naturopathic point of view, that will be our workshop on Thursday, April the 14th, 7 to 9:30. And then Laws of Living on Friday from 7 to 9:30. And then immediately following that, we're doing a two-day intensive that will be based in stress and healing. And you can jump on our website and catch a copy of the flyers for all those workshops. If you want to come to beautiful Las Vegas and join us for those workshops, we'd be delighted to see you. And, of course, starting on July the 8th at Heartland, we'll be doing a 65-day intensive. We'll start off with a 9-day codependence to interdependence segment and then move on into a whole series of modules that overall will be a total of 65 days. There'll be people who'll be there for one module or two or three or four or five or all six. And so if you want to look at that, you can look on the website under schedules. And you'll see where we are. We're scheduling some other things. It looks like we might be out in Oregon, perhaps California yet this year. And so keep an eye on our schedule for coming events. And any comments in the chat room, Jeannie, or anybody on the line? Okay. Terry, are you still with us?
I'm still here, yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So any other thoughts or questions or answers or ideas for us, Terry?
On the way to pick up my daughter. I jumped in the car here to pick her up at her school. And the intensive July the 8th, marvelous time for all. Looking forward to that. Talked to Chuck earlier. He's coming back out. So we've got some repeat folks coming back.
Yeah, we've got a whole family coming over from England. They'll be there for 3 months, which is kind of cool. It'll be a mom and dad, and I think the young man is, if I remember correctly, is 9 or 11, and the daughter is 5 or 6. And this, or the two boys, yeah. So we'll have a family there from England, and things are just rocking along.
Yep. You might remind people about the Why Is This Happening to Me Again Facebook page, where they can see pictures and photos of Heartland and all the things that have gone on out there and the different projects and some of the buildings and things. That's a great place for people to check in and see what's happening out there and what's going on, what has happened.
Yes, for sure. For sure. And David, is there anything exciting to report from Heartland at this point? You're there, Julie is there. Anything exciting to tell us about?
Well, you know, it's on an energetic level, thinking about Heartland and the space for people to come. So many people have expressed to me that just as soon as they even get on the property, well, then things start to shift within them. And what it is that what they've come here to heal, and it is a process for people to be able to tap into that energy. So the energy around here is just it's really amazing of watching the transformation of the leaves and the nature part of that, and just to tap into the energy that there have been so many people that have come here over the last 20 some odd years. And not only do they receive something in being here, they leave something here as well, and that's the energy that people really tap into and see. Because as you talked about, the healing goes on energetically with lots and lots of the people that are connected. I talked with Jean, as I was telling you this morning, and it was wonderful just to tap into her energy and for her to remember what it is that she received from being here. She plans to be on the radio one day this week and to talk about what her experience is. And she's bringing her grandson, who is 15 years old, to an intensive this year. So for people to know that there's an age group, not only an age group, an array of professionals, that people come here from doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs and airline pilots to chefs to maintenance to construction people. Every walk of life comes here, and every age group comes here. It's irrelevant of those things. Just come in and participate and have the best experience of your life. It's really wonderful. So we're just gearing up for that. Getting ready, and we'll be here quickly.
For sure. It is moving forward, and the energy around the planet is moving in the direction of forgiveness.
Yeah.
More and more
absolutely.
Powerful. And freeing people from the patterns of the generations. We're here to support you. We ask for your support, and that is, you know, for tomorrow's show, the rest of the week, find somebody that will share the information and the energy with you. There's a wonderful proverb, you know, Nene, when she spoke about how working with other people with these tools just enhanced her process immeasurably. There's this wonderful African proverb that says, if you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And so go together. Bring someone to the show with you tomorrow. And, of course, if you're interested, there are DVDs and CDs of all the workshops that we do. If you'd like to support us with a donation to keep this work moving forward, you can go to our website, www.whyagain.com. We'd be delighted to hear from you, and we hope that your day is blessed, and you have the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings.
Thank you so much. Namaste.